Now I'll read today's Bible passage. It's from Samuel, 2 Samuel 11, verses 1 through 5. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and all of the Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. She was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanliness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I am pregnant." Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your name. Today in Japan, it's Setsubun Festival, and many people are throwing beans and doing other kinds of cultural things. And a lot of people in Japan believe that they can do things to have power over their own lives. But as Christians, we know that this is all fruitless activities. We know that we live differently from the world. And we also realize that there are many different things, such as natural disasters, that can take lives instantly. As Paul says, the things that you are you not aware of the gods that you worship? And we need to realize that we need to have a lot of joy when we share the gospel. There's a lot of idols here in Japan, and it's kind of a culture that believes in various gods. But this can really impact people, and it may be very difficult to share the gospel in light of this. We need to have a lot of wisdom when we share the gospel, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming here today amongst the snow that we had earlier. And I'm very glad to see you all here. Today, we're looking once again at a story from David's life, and we're seeing what we can learn from his example. It's possible that with your clothing, there may be a time when you got a slight fray in it, and after a while, all of a sudden, it became a greater like hole. There, in Japan, there's a phrase that like an ant can destroy a dam, meaning like a little leak will sink a great ship. And so just something really small can become something great and large in size if just left alone and lead to something very disastrous. If you're not careful about something, it can actually lead to a great atrocity. This is actually something that can apply to our hearts as well. According to some statistics, people who commit crimes are people who just don't obey little rules, and like separating their garbage or throwing trash out randomly in the street or not lining up properly to get on a train. So people who don't follow those rules have a greater possibility to commit serious crimes. A small thing can lead to a great thing, as I was just saying. In today's passage, we are looking at David and seeing just an example of this. When we read what happened in today's passage, our hearts really become dark and saddened. this David person that we've really looked up to does something that we can't even believe, commits terrible sin. When we read this passage, we may like think really down on, look lowly on David. However, we can also learn from him at the same time. Why can I say that? Well, even though the level of sin or what he has done may differ, we too also have the ability to be tempted and to fall into that temptation. Today's topic is titled, David and Bathsheba, How to Overcome Temptation, and we have 3 points we'll be looking at. The first point today is about David's sin. In today's passage, Israelites are fighting with the Ammonites. The reason why is that David wanted to have a friendship relationship with that area of the Ammonites. However, David's men, when they were sent to inquire about this, were treated very poorly, and David insisted on a war in light of this. However, during the winter, they stop fighting because of the bad weather conditions. Today's passage, though, in the first line, it talks about how it's spring. And so you can see that that is actually the period of March through April, and winter would have been over then, and so they would have been able to start fighting again. It says that David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. So it says they besieged Rabbah. Rabbah is actually the capital of the Ammon area, and they were able to really gain control of that area in doing so. However, David remained in Jerusalem and didn't go to the battlefield. It's likely that he was just to take care of the matters that was at hand locally. But there was one day, it mentions in verse 2, where it says, one evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. So it says, one evening here, and David gets up, it says, and that's what it all started this. And once again, this one evening phrase it mentions here, in those days, actually, even in spring in Israel, there was these strong winds, and because it was hot, the people would actually sleep in the middle of the day sometimes. So it's possible that David was sleeping in the afternoon and then slept unintentionally until evening and then got up then. He did get up, though, and he walked around on the roof of the palace. From that area, he would have been able to see the entire city. This was one of the privileges that the king would have had, to be able to have that view. He would be able to see exactly what was going on in the city, and if something was happening, he would be able to address it quickly. So it was had that purpose of protecting the city as well, to be given such a view. It would also allow him to see just all of the power that he had at a glance. Amongst doing this, though, David saw a woman, and her name was Bathsheba. A long time ago, there was a theory and actually even a movie where it was portrayed that Bathsheba attempted King David. And however, that's not what happened. David was attempted himself. Our abilities, our sensory abilities amongst them, the most powerful one is said to be vision. It's said that we have 11 million sensory receptors, and 10 million of them are actually for vision. So over 90% of our sensory receptors are related to vision. And experts say that over half of our brain is focused on seeing. In Genesis, you may remember how they were tempted by what they saw. And that's what led to their original sin. If you refer to Genesis 3:6, it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good and pleasing to the eye, and it was desirable and gaining wisdom, she took some and ate of it. As for us too, we are greatly impacted by what we see. When we walk through the city, we can see many different things in the store windows. Also, we can realize they are focusing on our visual. If there are some shops that don't have many things in the windows, you can see that perhaps they aren't doing that well. Also on the internet, it's likely you have a computer or a smartphone or some device. There's a lot of information there that is actually linked, and based on what you see, you are fed more of that information. If you think you want a hat, for example, and you do a search for it, then all of a sudden, all of these hat ads start coming up on your screen, and not photos alone, but also images. And you would think, oh, hats are so much popular now. And you would think, oh, I'm the first person to know this, and I need to get one. But you need to realize that this advertising and information is all set by different algorithms, and it's coming at you in that way. Through this way, there's all kinds of fraud that's spreading because of what's shown on the internet. For example, like it says that if you are missing something that's supposed to come in the mail, then you need to set into your personal information to get it, or ask for your credit card information, and so on. So if anything comes on email or SNS and you're kind of wondering if this is really true, I would encourage you to not make that decision on yourself. Ask your family members, ask church staff or so on, so that you won't become a part of a fraud. So from our eyes, there's all kinds of information we take in, and we make all kinds of decisions and are actually tempted in light of this at times. When we are tempted, it's very important to use wisdom to discern what to do. As for David, he didn't make a good decision. In Genesis, where we just read, it says that Eve was looking at the fruit, and it says it was pleasing to the eye. In other words, she was tempted by what she saw, and that went into her heart. David, too, had the same problem. He was tempted by what he saw, and it went into his heart and led to his action. Verse 3. David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." David took action to find out about her. And he found out that she was the wife of Uriah. Uriah was actually one of the top elite-ranked men that David had. David would have known him actually very well, and wouldn't have been just somebody he'd heard of before. And he knew Eliam, who was Uriah's dad. He was also an elite person. So actually, the grandfather of Bathsheba was actually one it said that who would have provided information. So all of these people, David would have known very well. And it could have been a warning, in a sense, from God, stop, don't do what you're considering doing. But David didn't do that. He ignored the warning and took action instead. He did something that he should not have done. Verse 4, then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. Here, you can wonder from our present day perspective, why is it that Bathsheba didn't refuse? However, in those days, the ranking of women was very low, and it's likely she couldn't have refused what he was asking. And in light of this, David was able to get away with his sin. And he actually could have been killed and have the death penalty for this. Because David was to realize that, he wanted to hide it and somehow get away with it. However, he wasn't able to effectively do so. In verse 5, it says the woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." so now there was going to be proof of what he had done. David then called Uriah back from the battlefield and tried to get him to be with his wife to fake what had happened. However, Uriah knew that his men were fighting on the battlefield and refused to do what David was asking. Because of that, David sent Uriah to the first row of the fighting on the battlefield and actually had him killed. This is just a story where you just almost don't even want to read it. You can see, though, how David did have a weakness, and we too have our own weaknesses. Looking at the second point, it's about when we become weak and what we can do when that happens. There's two main aspects to this. The first aspect is that we become weak when we haven't had enough sleep and are tired. That day, it says that David had slept until the evening, so it's likely that he was taking a nap and it just ended up being too long. Possibly he was quite tired and he didn't have enough sleep. Possibly he was concerned about what was happening on the battlefield, or he was worried about political issues. He may have been a seasonal thing. It could have been other types of issues that he was facing as well. But it's likely that he was tired out for some reason and didn't have enough sleep. In present day, there are actually things people say about getting enough sleep, and this can vary from person to person, but somewhere between 7 to 9 hours of sleep is what is actually ideal for a person each day. Why is it so important? It's because your brain needs time to just rest. When your day ends, your brain is just full of information and has used a lot of energy. And all of this energy or all this information in your head is kind of like trash it needs to process. By sleeping, it's able to like clean out your mind. However, if you don't get enough sleep, then this information, it's like trash, kind of piles up in your brain. And if you actually don't sleep, you sleep less than 6 hours, it's actually said that it's kind of like a situation of not being able to, it's almost like a mild drunkenness state because you can't think so clearly for a period of 6 hours or for a period of time. They researchers did information on students who were studying for tests, and they found out that they actually developed terrible habits if without getting enough sleep. They did binge eating or drinking and a lot of smoking and so on because they were not able to think clearly because they weren't able to get enough sleep. It's also found that addictions in the present day and substance abuse are sometimes due to people just not getting enough sleep. And we can see in this that not getting enough sleep can lead to can lead to problems. So if you're sleeping during the sermon, don't wake somebody up if they are because they need to be sleeping. So when we're thinking about, once again, about David and becoming weak, there's this concept of license to sin or moral licensing. David at this time fell to this like license to sin concept. Let me explain a little bit about this. It's often true of politicians, teachers, pastors, famous athletes, and other people who have making a huge contribution to the society become corrupt or involved in all kinds of scandals. And this is often shown, unfortunately, on the news. These people who were once believed to be very, serious and dedicated people all of a sudden are found to be involved in an underage relationship, or a pastor, for example, now has problems with relationships with other women. There's all these kinds of different problems that occur sometimes. One of the causes of this, found in through studying psychology, is this concept of having a license to sin or moral licensing. What this means is that when people do good things, they feel better about themselves. And they kind of have this false impression that, oh, it's okay to do something a little bad. It's like they get licensed to do something bad because they've made such a good contribution otherwise. According to research that's been done, people who commit sin are likely people, or sometimes people who have been actually doing really good things for a long period of time, and they're just thinking that they've done such a good things for so long, such a long time, that it's okay if they just do a little something bad. And they can like justify the sin that they are contemplating doing. It's possible that this was true of David, as he may have been in a similar circumstance. He would have done a lot of great things. He started up a country, he developed an army, and he had a lot of victories. The problem is that all of those things were what God had done through David. And David misunderstood and believed that like it was all because of him that these things had happened. He became prideful, and all of the things in the kingdom he believed were his possessions. As for ourselves, when we accomplish something and we do something good, we may fall tempted to have this license to sin. When people are weak, and we can see what can happen to them and how they can be tempted and fall to it. But we know that behind that work is the devil and the work of evil spirits as well. The devil and evil spirits are doing all that they can to get us to be away from God and destroy our relationship with Him. When we do become weak and when we become tempted, are things that we need to be aware of. And we need to realize and get rid of such opportunities for ourselves to become weak. Let's look at the final point. It's how to overcome temptation. In today's passage, when we're looking at it, we can see how David committed sin with Bathsheba and then had Uriah killed to try and cover it up. And amongst this time period of about a year that this would have taken place, we can see that David's heart was not turned at all in the direction of God. He was very prideful and focused on himself. His spiritual eyes, it seemed, were closed. In order for us to overcome temptation, we need to take action early on if we are weak. It's important to have a good, strong relationship with God on a daily basis. I actually recommend you have a daily devotion time at the start and end of the day. If you are turning your eyes to God only during Sunday or Saturday worship services, that's just way too little of time. You need to have a daily time when you focus on God to protect you from becoming prideful and to realize that you are loved and created by God. By doing this, you will have the power to overcome temptation. In your daily lives, if you're spending time with God, you'll be able to notice more things. You'll be able to see and realize that God really is with you and that He is always watching you. David, it seems, was unable to have that. Before coming a Christian, it's possible that you were told, even if nobody's watching, you know, like in Japan, they say, like, this false God is looking at you. You know, if you think nobody's watching you, watch out because God's looking at you. It's possible you were told this. However, just being told like that alone doesn't really reflect on the true heart of God. It just like tells you that if you do something bad, like you're going to be punished and all God's out to do is get you. And it's kind of something that just gets you fearful. However, for us Christians, when we think about God, we know He is always with us and He's always seen us. But the perspective of God looking at us is not one of fear. When we read the Gospels, for example, when Peter betrayed Jesus, you can see how Jesus' eyes link with his, and Peter is led to repent. What kind of look do you think Jesus was giving him? Do you think Jesus was furious with him? No. Jesus would have said, he thought likely, you know, I know you sinned, but I want you to repent, Peter. And when in doing so, Peter actually did repent. God looks at us and has that same type of perspective as he does so. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life for us on the cross. This Jesus is the same one who sees us now. To overcome temptation, if that's our desire, we can do so, but not because we're just fearful, but because we're continuing to be loved. And as someone who is loved, we want to do what is right. As we are feeling God's love, we can avoid and overcome temptations. And this will be a huge testimony to those who are around us. I would like to share one more story and then close today. In New York, there was an architect who was very successful. And he reflected on something that had happened when he was a child. The title of what he wrote about was titled, The Greatest Catch of My Life. Let me read a little bit of it. So when he was 11 years old, he went often with his father to go fishing. There was one day when they were out fishing, and it was actually the day before there was going to be a lift of the ban on bass fish. And so they were up really late at night, and when it was quite late, all of a sudden the fishing rod started to bend, and I realized I caught something really big, he said. And he was fighting against the fish and pulled it in, reeled it in really slowly. And he was so excited, and he got the fish into the boat. It was such a big fish. It was bigger than anything he had ever caught before. But it was a bass also. And his father lighted a match and looked at his watch, and it was still 10 o'clock p.m. on the day before. So it was one day still, the day before the ban on catching bass was lifted. And he looked at me and he said, "This is a bass. You can't keep it. You need to put it back in the water." And I said, "Dad, I just caught this huge fish." And he said, "No. You'll get another one." And I couldn't give in. So I was like, "Dad, like, I might never catch a fish this big again. And there's nobody else here. And no, there's no other boats out on the water right now. Nobody's looking. It'll be fine." My father said, his father said quietly, even if no one's looking, God is. He said that he realized what his father was saying was true, and he let the fish back into the water. The bass went away and never came back. After 30 years since that, he was working as an architect and doing quite well. He always realized what his father had told him was true and correct. That fish that he had caught when he was a child, he was never able actually to catch anything as big again. However, in work, whenever he came across ethical issues, he would always remember what his father had told him. Even if nobody was looking, he knew that God, who loved him, was watching and would tell him the right way of what to do. And because of that, he was blessed. As for ourselves, we can be aware of God's presence, and we can make the correct decisions when we are tempted. We can help be good witnesses of God and his truth to our family and friends in doing so. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to learn from the great mistake that David made when he was tempted and couldn't overcome it. We too have weaknesses as David did. And we want to recognize that. When we are tempted by different things, we can remember what to do in light of what David didn't do. In our daily time we spend with you, God, we know that we can receive power to overcome sin and temptation. We thank you for always being with us and for looking at us. We know that your presence and your appearance of us is one of love. We know that you gave your life for us. And in light of that, we want to do what is right. Please, Lord, give us the daily ability to do so. We ask that in various places you have us placed for this coming week, that we can walk following you and be guided by you. We thank you and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this coming week and forevermore. Amen. We'll have a few announcements. First announcement is about IBF, the International Bible Fellowship. It will take place next Sunday on February 9th. I encourage you to please take part. Next, information about TACT. And Mr. Kubo will give that announcement today. Thank you so much for your time today. Hello, everyone. Thank you, everyone, and hi to everybody on the internet as well. As you can see, last year, about a year ago, we made an announcement, and we have actually started this group or support this group called TACT that provides support for different groups. Has anyone read the article in the Koinonia recently? This is actually contains all of the information that I want to tell you today, so you can just pick one up if you want to know. My wife actually helped write it, and apparently it's written pretty well. Anyway, if you may realize that you're not capable of doing a lot of different things, but sometimes you can benefit from the help of others. What I want to tell you today is that there's a former Yakuza member who's become a Christian and a pastor as well. And when he spoke earlier, there were some people that wanted to ask questions but weren't able to. So there's answers to those questions, and that's mentioned in the Koinonia. So one of the questions was about how the church will deal with former prisoners if they come to church, and also information about how we can support prisoners or people who were prisoners back in the society. Also how to help people to become independent, which they are getting back into the society. There's different kinds of problems that will likely face former prisoners. And so their people are looking for assistance with this. So TACT is an organization that provides assistance to people who have come out of prison and are getting back into the real world again. And if you would like to support them, you're welcome to make a donation. This year, as with last year, they are asking a donation of at least 100 yen per person. If you can contribute, please do so. There is a donation box in the back of the sanctuary today. And there's also different things. You can also make donations too, for example, to support work in Israel. There's other prayer requests and topics that are mentioned. There's information about all these people who have died in Israel. And if you would like to pray for Israel, there's information about that as well. Also, in the Noto Peninsula, there's different prayer requests, specifically for supporting a Minamichi Christ Church member who's considering moving to that area to help with the rebuilding efforts there. So if you're able to give a donation of 100 yen, that would greatly support all of these ministries. And my wife wanted to remind you to thank everybody for all of the work that they're doing to support such ministries. Thank you so much. Goodbye. So his wife praises him, and we can all learn from that. In the back, there is a donation box. If you would like to contribute to the TACT ministry, you're welcome to make a donation. Thank you. There'll be a testimony giving time on February 16th, Sunday, starting at 1:30. Kudo-san will be speaking. It'll be a wonderful opportunity. We hope you will attend. If you want to, you're welcome to sign up out of the entryway. Thank you. Men and women are both welcome to come, even though it's a Women Groups event. Financial reports for the past year are due by February 25th for the church groups. There's going to be a photo club event on February 15th. If you would like to join in, you're welcome to sign up and do so. We are looking for people who would love to help out in the kitchen on the third Sunday of the month. We always serve lunch here. And if you're able to come help out with either setup, cleanup, cooking, and so on, washing dishes and so on, that would be greatly appreciated. Now we'd like to welcome people visiting for the first time today. Please stand when your name is called. From J House, Funakoshi-san is here. Thank you for coming today. Welcome. From Osaka. Thank you.